time. It's also my turn. My turn to be fruitful. And the fruit of the womb. If you don't need that, don't say that. It's not only because I can see and I can perceive some people who thought they were done. On a day like this, something happened. But for somebody that desires it, it is your turn now. In the fruit of your hands, now say it. In the fruit of my hands, it's not only my time, it's also my turn. In my career, it's not only my time, it is also my turn. In my business, it's not only my time, it's also my turn. And so shall it be. In Jesus' marvelous name. Help me congratulate your neighbor on your right and on your left. Tell your neighbor it's not just your time, it is also your turn. Be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you again and again. Blessed be your name. Speak to us again in this service and let your name be glorified. Let your word come with power. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Teaching series that was started last week, Walking in Dominion Over Sicknesses and Diseases. Walking in Dominion Over Sicknesses and Diseases, and this will be part 2A. Walking in Dominion Over Sickness and Disease. We already from last week also known that the end time church is the winning church. We learned from Daniel chapter 7, verses 25 to 27, which tells us that the end time church is not just the winning church, it will be the reigning church. It says, and ye shall speak great words against the Most High, Daniel 7, 25 to 27, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into the hands until the time and times and the dividing of time. He said, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. This scripture will bless you more when you look at it from the TLB version. It says he will defy the Most High God, and wear down the saints with persecution. And he will try to change all laws, all morals, all customs. It says God's people will be helpless in his hands for 3.5 years. It says, but then the Ancient of Days will come and open his court of justice and take all power from this vicious king to consume and destroy it until the end. He says, then all nations under heaven and their power shall be given to the people of God. They shall rule all things forever, and all rulers shall serve and obey them. The end time church will be the one in charge of power. No wonder David said concerning this kingdom, he says in Psalm 110 verses 1 to 3, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand, and until I make thine enemies thy footstool. He says, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of the holiness of the womb. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. So power will be domiciled in the church. He says power will be emanating from the church, and things happen where power is resident. Things can only happen where power is resident. Powerful nations are rated based on their arsenal. If you want to rate powerful nations of the world, powerful nations are rated based on their arsenal. In other words, they are rated based on the type of weapons that they have. There are nations, some nations cannot joke with because of the type of the arsenal that they have. That's how you rate people. That's how you rate nations. The Philistine said in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David came against the giant warrior with a sling and a stone. And the Philistine looked down on him and said, "Am I a dog that you came to with a sling and a stone? What kind of weapon do you have in your hands?" He said to him, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. So the king was coming, somebody was in front of him bearing a shield to protect the king. But when he saw David and his weapon, the Bible says he disdained him and probably told the man that was in front of him, "You just go and sit down. I will just blow this boy away and he will be dead." Why? Because he looked down on his weapon and went. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. Keep going. And then he said, and the Philistine cursed, he said in verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." The giant said, "I swear I will make meat out of you. I will so kill you that they won't even see your bones." That is because of the kind of weapon that he had in his hands. We have weapons in this kingdom, but we are not paying attention to the weapons. We think those weapons are powerless, but our powerful state as the end time church is designed by the type of weapons that we have. It is the type of weapons that we have that the people outside are calling us blessed. We have weapons that cannot be despised. And like I said last Sunday, before we know what kind of weapon we will engage against this service, it is expedient for us to know our opposition. If you don't know the opposition, you won't know the kind of weapon to go with. When we know the opposition and their power, then we know what kind of weapon to take with us. God also has an arsenal where he keeps weapons. Glory to God. Take a look at it. Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 25. He says, "The Lord hath opened his armory and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation. For this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. The Lord God of righteousness also has weapons." He has armory. Armory is where you keep weapons. So he says he has an armory where he keeps his weapons. The kind of weapon we now pick there, the type of opposition we have will determine the type of weapon that we are taking. Let's study the opposition. The two oppositions we shall be taking a look at today are, number one, unclean spirit. Unclean spirit. Jesus tells us about unclean spirit. Look at what he said in Matthew chapter 8, 16 to 17. He says, "When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his sword and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities, he bore our sicknesses." And what was the root of some of this? At the root of some of these sicknesses, Jesus pointed them out. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power over unclean spirits." He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Luke 6:18, "And they that were vexed with unclean spirits were healed." So there are unclean spirits. Imagine somebody eating food, vomiting the food, and eating it again. That's unclean. He just finished eating. He had the condition. And I know that I'm sure he went to the hospital, they would have given him all manner of names. They would have given that condition. They would tell him it's a condition and given it all manner of names. that you will not be able to pronounce. But they are not normal. They are unclean spirits behind it. How can you eat food, throw up, and eat the throw up that you threw up? Unclean spirits. Anyone under any form of unclean spirit, you are coming out of it today. Look at another example of unclean spirit. Luke chapter 8 and verse 29. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of that man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. The unclean spirits are dangerous. Unclean spirits. Luke 11, 24. And when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. So he lives, unclean spirit lives inside people. They see it as their abode. This is my house. He says, I will go out, and if you chase me out of this place, and that place is not filled with the Spirit of God, he said, I will go back and bring seven more unclean and dwell here. So there are unclean spirits. That's why we need to fight them. To permanently bar unclean spirits, we need to be constantly clean. Number two, the spirit of insanity. Mark chapter 5, 2 to 5. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. So at the root of insanity is still unclean. Glory to God. You know what they call it here? They will say immunal imbalance. They call it another one. Mental disorder. Eh? Bipolar disorder. They will give it a name. And then they will be giving you drugs that will be messing your mind up the more. One brother in one of the churches I pastored in those days had never been sick, but this time just fell sick. The wife was a nurse, so went to the hospital where the wife is a nurse, and then they prescribed drugs for him. He said in the middle of the night, he said the building will be rolling. Everywhere will be rolling. Everywhere will be rolling. He said the sickness was becoming greater. He said, he told his wife, I think it's the drug you people gave me that is causing this. I'm not taking again. He said the moment he stopped taking those drugs, it began to get better gradually. They will give you a name. And they will give it a name. And when they give it a name for you, and you know you trust them more than you trust God, you begin to take these drugs diligently. But the Bible calls it the spirit of insanity. Matthew chapter 5, as we were reading. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him? No, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. It is so bad now that even children are engaged, cutting themselves just when something is not going their way. And then you take them to the hospital, they give them drugs, it messes their minds up again. It is called the spirit of insanity. Whoever is under this spell, today you are coming out of it. Whatever it is that is unclean, leading to insanity, will be flushed out in this service. Amen. Acts of Apostles chapter 10 and verse 38. He said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Healing is guaranteed for somebody in this service this morning. Amen. Why? Because we are partaking of the healer's flesh and blood. The drug that will be prescribed today is the blood, is the communion table. Now we know the opposition. What arsenal? We are going into the arsenal of our Father, and we are taking one weapon today. The weapon we are engaging today is the weapon of the communion table. And look at this. Again, take a look again at Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So the name of Jesus, the personality of Jesus is empowerment, is power. How God anointed him. 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 25. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner, he took the cup when he had prayed and sobbed, saying, 'This is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" In other words, when you eat it and you drink it, you will be partakers of the anointing of my body. I have never seen in scriptures where those who ate that on that table were called sick. Never. He said, "Give to them, and when you eat it," he said, "you will live like me." So very quickly, please stop taking a look at this as normal. We take it every second Sunday and every Wednesday. It's normal. I'm going to be showing you some things by the help of the Holy Ghost this morning. And your mentality about the communion table will change completely. It will begin to work in your hands. It will begin to work for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. What is in the mystery of the Holy Communion to partake of? Why? What is in the mystery of the Holy Communion to partake of? Number one, we are empowered for strength when we partake of the Holy Communion. We are empowered for health. We are empowered for longevity. That is one of the mysteries of the Holy Communion. You can call it a vitamin you trust in that gives you strength, makes you healthy, and ultimately results in your longevity. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 30. "For this cause many are weak, many sickly among you, and many sleep." Why? But when it is taken worthily, it means that it will result in your strength, it has capacity for your health, and also result in your longevity. He said many are weak, many are sick, and many sleep. To sleep means to die. Because they were not taking it worthily. He said, but when they take it the way it should be taken, he said, it will give you health, it will give you strength, and you will also live long. Amen. One time, I was doing this one-year thing when you go to school. What is it called again? One-year thing, you go to a place, and then you work there for they saw something. And there was this woman there. She just turned, at that time, I think she turned 60 or something. And then when she came, she said, "Oh, today is my birthday. I'm turning 60 or thereabout." And we were all looking at her like, "What? You look so young. You are 66, what?" She said, "Ah, yes. That was in Lagos. That was, and you know how Lagos people behave." She said, "Yeah, that's me. I'm there." And she started saying some things. She died 3 months later. 3 months later. All of a sudden, she just started falling sick. And the doctors couldn't find out what was wrong with her. And that gave me a mentality since that day that you are strong and healthy is not because of what you are eating. What you are eating is part of it. What you are drinking is part of it. But ultimately, it is the grace of God. Glory to God. Number two, quickly because of time. What is in the mystery of the Holy Communion to partake of? So if you want to feel younger, partake of the Holy Communion daily or every time you are privileged to partake of it. See it as the vitamin that keeps your body strong. We are empowered to live like Christ, spirit, soul, and body. And that means he was perfect in every department of his life. That's speaking about the body we have, the body, the flesh we are taking, and the blood. He said he was perfect in every department of his life. So partaking of it will give us, will make us look like him. Spirit, soul, and body. Hebrews 9 and verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience, that's talking about the soul, from dead works to serving the living God, that's talking about the body. Spirit, soul, and body. They couldn't even break his bones. His bones couldn't be broken. So it means when we partake of him, we begin to look like him. Spirit, soul, and body. Psalm 34 and verse 20. He said he kept all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Your bone will be preserved. Amen. Your bone will not be broken. Amen. Partaking of his flesh and his blood has impact on us. How? In our spirit, in our soul, and our body. John 6 and verse 57. As the living Father had sent me, and I live by the Father. Technical, please follow me, flow with me. And I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Whoever eats this body and drinks this blood will have his system work like mine. That's what he's saying. For partakers, this is their portion. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The same way it worked for him, it will work for you. Amen. Which means this works when you sense something is going wrong with someone, tell them to partake of the communion table because it can affect the spirit. It affects the soul. It affects the body. It has capacity, power over the spirit, over the soul, and over the body. Now, what constitutes the Holy Communion? In other words, what makes up this drug? What constitutes the Holy Communion? The Holy Communion consists of the bread and the blood. That is the flesh and the blood. Matthew 26, 28 to 29. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. John 6, 48 to 51. John 6, 48 to 51. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. I will give, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. So in Matthew 26, 28 to 29, he said, I am the blood. In John 6, 48 to 51, he said, I am the bread. My flesh and my blood. Verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So the flesh and the blood command life. Inside the flesh and inside this blood is your life, is my life. Because we are partaking of his life, then if we partake of his life, then we are entitled to living. Glory to God. Partaking of his flesh and blood will pump his kind of life into our system. It's like blood transfusion. When somebody is ill or somebody is not strong and they discover that the disease is in the blood, they say they want to do blood transfusion. If it is possible for them to get a better blood, they will flush constantly the blood of that person out and put the better blood inside. It's called blood transfusion. So partaking of his flesh and his blood is flesh transfusion and blood transfusion. Glory to God. Is flesh transfusion and blood transfusion. What is in the bread? What is in the flesh? Quickly. What is in the flesh? Let's start with the flesh. Is there somebody in technical today? Let's start with the flesh. Number one, inside the bread is the rod of God that will swallow up all magicians in our body. I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
So you are partaking of the flesh. It swallows up every magician that is in that body. Anything making you uncomfortable will be swallowed up this morning.
Amen.
How? Just like the rod of Moses, by the power of God, swallowed up all the rods of the magicians. Just like the power of Moses. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1, he said, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. That is speaking about Jesus in what? That's talking about Jesus. He said, there shall come out a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The rod is the word in flesh. That is speaking about Jesus. And Jesus says, we are partaking of him. That's why he said, take my flesh. That is, it will now go in as the rod to swallow up every magician in everybody's body. I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
In Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, it said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. When you are taking it, you are partaking of the word in my flesh. My partaking of the word in flesh form. You are partaking of the word in flesh form. Jesus said, I am that bread of life. John 6, 48 to 51. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh. My flesh. So my flesh is my... when we partake of the flesh, we are partaking of Jesus. His rod. His rod can go into our bodies and swallow up every magician. From this moment, as you partake of the flesh this day, whatsoever is making you uncomfortable will be swallowed up today.
Amen.
Number two, what is in the bread or what is in the flesh that makes it so powerful? Inside the bread is the miracle meal. The miracle meal. What does that do? It neutralizes any form of poison in the body. The miracle meal. It neutralizes every form of poison in the body. And you know we are eating poison daily. Every day we are eating. Especially if you like chicken. Glory to God. You know, this is... it's only here I found out, as in this part of the world, that they will recall what you have eaten. You've already eaten something. They will say, chicken that was so-so-so to so-so-so, if you bought it, we have recalled it. Ha! something that I've eaten. How can you recall what I've eaten already? We eat poison daily. So every day, every week, see the flesh as what neutralizes that poison. I didn't hear your amen. 2 Kings chapter 4, 39 to 41. He says, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat thereof. But he said, bring the meal. And he cast it into the pot. And he said, pour out for the people. And they did eat, and there was no more harm in the pot. In TLB translation, he says, 2 Kings 4, 39 to 41. One of the young men went out into the field to gather vegetables and came back with some wild gourds. And then he said, he shredded them and put them into a kettle without realizing that they were poisonous. Keep going. But after the men had eaten a bite or two, they cried out, oh, sir, there is poison in this stew. Bring me some meal, Elisha said. He threw it into the kettle and said, now it's all right. Go ahead and eat. And then it didn't harm them. How? Inside the bread is power to neutralize every form of poison that anyone may have eaten. Intentionally, some people may have given you poison. It will not work before because you are taking this. Systematically, you have eaten some form of poison. It will not work. Why? Because you have taken this. One of our pastors in those days in London was thirsty, wanted to drink water, went into the fridge. He works in a lab. Wanted to drink water, saw the first thing that looked like water and began to drink it. And he didn't know it was acid. And the other guy walking with him said, no, no, that's acid. He says, it's not acid, it's water. It's not acid, it's water. Because whatever you call it, that's what it will be. And because of his declaration, acid turned to water. He drank acid for free. For you, whatsoever it is you have eaten or drank, as you partake of his flesh that is poisonous, it shall be neutralized today. I said it will be neutralized today. He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. He says, in my name, Mark 16:17, in my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. What is in the bread? The flesh. Number three, inside the bread is the New Testament manna that destroys all forms of weaknesses and feebleness. Inside the bread is the New Testament manna. As long as they were eating manna, there was not one sick person among them. There was not one feeble person among them. Not one. So see this as, and the Bible says, is better. Jesus said, my flesh is better. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, but they still died. He said, but when you partake of this one, it's better than manna. No sickness, no weakness, no feebleness. From now, you will not be weak again. From now, you will not be feeble again. Psalm 105 and verse 37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. For 40 years, none of them was reported sick. For 40 years, none of them, there was no need to call doctor. They didn't visit any hospital. They didn't go to any pharmacy because they were eating angels' food. Psalm 78 and verse 23. Now, if they were eating angels' food and they were not sick, they were not weak, how about eating the food, or eating God himself? Look at this now. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, he said, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. The man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. They ate angels' food, and there was never a time they would call 911. They were not weak. They were not feeble. In fact, this is what we know about angels. This is what we know about angels. Psalm 103 and verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength. Angels excel in strength. So when man began to eat angels' food, they couldn't be weak. They couldn't be feeble. And the bread is more potent than the Old Testament manna. Partakers cannot be weak, neither can they be feeble. You know, you can liken it to Daraprim, the Sunday malaria prevention. Not everybody knows it. If you know it, I will know your age. Glory to God. You can liken it to Daraprim in those days that you take every Sunday and they will tell you you can't miss it. If you miss it, you'll be prone to malaria, so don't miss it. It prevents weaknesses and feebleness. And feebleness can occur in three ways. I found out. Number one, physically. Number two, intellectually. Number three, morally. People can be weak physically. You can be weak intellectually. You can be weak morally. So when you partake of it, it works for you physically. It works for you intellectually, and it works morally. It ultimately prevents death. John 6:58, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Number four, what is in the bread or what is in the flesh? Any other health-related testimony that you desire? Did you hear that? The bread will open your eyes to every other desired available testimony that you have heard or you have seen that you desire. That will be somebody's testimony today. I said that will be somebody's testimony today in the name of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. The communion table has capacity, that's the bread, capacity to open our eyes. To open our eyes to what we don't know. You know what kills many people? What they don't know. What they don't know is at the root of the death of many people, especially where we come from. My mother-in-law had the privilege of coming to us in Minnesota in those days, and then we took her to the hospital, and we already told her all the drugs we are taking that it gave you there, bring them, come with them. When we got to the doctor was asking her, you are sure you are the one taking this thing? She said, yes. She said, have you ever had stroke before? She said, no. She couldn't even, the doctor didn't allow her to take that drug out of that place, just in case you attempted to take it again. She said, the doctor said, was wondering, how can somebody prescribe this kind of drug that you are even alive? I don't understand. The communion table will open our eyes today. Quickly, what is in the blood? What is in the blood? The dominion nature of Christ that is immune to sicknesses. The dominion, I will just take one of this one today, and then you will be good. Glory to God. The dominion nature of Christ that is immune to sicknesses and diseases is in his blood. You know, the human blood have different blood groups, and the type of blood group determines the type of immunity you have against sicknesses and diseases. Am I making sense? The type of blood group you have, that means the stronger your blood group, they believe that the stronger you are. Your blood group will determine the type of immunity that you have. They include A, B, AB, and O. And there are also blood types. Blood types are AA, AS, AC, SS, SC, the strongest, AA, followed by AS, and then AC, and then SS, and then SC. Their rating is based on their immunity to fighting sicknesses and diseases. So those who can't fight sicknesses and diseases. So now, that's why doctors say it is not safe for AS and SS to marry. Why? This one cannot fight immunity, doesn't have immunity to fight sicknesses by itself. This one only has 50-50 chance of fighting sicknesses. So if you both marry and then you give birth to another SS, it means that that person will not have immunity to fight sicknesses and will be prone to sicknesses and diseases. Glory to God. There's not much time to tell you about that one right now. But inside the blood of Christ is the nature that dominates sicknesses and diseases. That means the manifestation of the body lies in the blood. The manifestation. So when you see a person, especially if that person is SS and it is not properly managed, you will know. Why? Because what is going on in the blood is affecting the body. The life of the body is in the blood. What is going on in the body, in the blood, is reflective in the body. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. That is why it is expedient to exchange our blood for his blood. We are exchanging our blood for his blood. This morning, that's what we are doing. We are exchanging our blood for his blood. Is not every blood group or blood type that can donate blood. And even when you can donate blood, it's not every blood that you can take. But this blood is available to all. All blood groups can change to this blood type. By faith. Come on, tap your neighbor. Say you won't be sick again. Number two, the Holy Communion makes us to share the same type of blood with Christ. Makes us share the same type of blood with Christ. And today, we know it's our covenant day of fruitfulness. And please take note, we are created to be fruitful. We are created to be fruitful. The first pronunciation on man was the blessing of fruitfulness. In Genesis chapter 1, 27 to 28, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful. And not only should you be fruitful, be and multiply. That is the first blessing. And replenish the earth. That means one of the reasons for our creation is for fruitfulness. Not only in the fruit of the womb, but also in the fruit of the body, and also in the fruit of our hands. The blessing is so sure, he says it covers our livestock. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 14. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. No matter what, not even our livestock is permitted to be barren. I didn't hear your amen. But the first couple lost their blessings to curses. In Deuteronomy 28 and verse 18, they did something and the Bible says, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. And the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. So you see that the curse affects not only those people, it also affects their flocks. The flocks that was blessed. He said, not even your flock will be barren. But here he says, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, which means you won't be fruitful in the fruit of your body. And then he said, the blessing and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. And then God sent Jesus to restore the blessing of fruitfulness. That blessing is now available to all the redeemed. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The blessing of fruitfulness has been restored to those that are born of the Spirit. Galatians 3:29, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we are redeemed as the seed of Abraham, and part of the promise to Abraham was that it was impossible for him to be barren. What are the areas we are redeemed to be fruitful in? In our spiritual life, in our health, in our body, in our business, in our career, in our marital life, in our destiny. Did you hear that? Our spiritual life, our health, our body, our business, our careers, marital life, and our destiny. Be fruitful on every side. I said, be fruitful on every side. But how can we secure our heritage of fruitfulness? Number one, by be committed to feeding on the word. Be committed to feeding on the word. Genesis 1:1-3. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. If the word has creative powers, it will create your own child for you. By the word, your business will be fruitful. I didn't hear your amen. By the word, your spiritual life will be fruitful. Amen. By the word, your career will be fruitful. Amen. By the word, you'll be fruitful in your health. Amen. By the word, your body will be fruitful. Amen. By the word, your marital life will be fruitful. Amen. By the word, your destiny will be fruitful. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. That means when we stick with the word, we begin to look like the word, like we said last week Sunday. John 15:5, I am the vine, says the word. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So when we stay with the word, he said you can't be fruitful. Without me, go back there. He said, without much fruit, the same. He that abideth in me, that is taking the word daily, he that abideth with me, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth what? Much fruit. Not just the fruit of the womb, the fruit of the body, the fruit of your health, the fruit of your hands, the fruit of your career, the fruit of your business, the fruit of your destiny. Number two, let your faith for fruitfulness be built up. The word we are feeding on should be able to build our faith. And take note, we are not just feeding on the word. We are feeding on the word of fruitfulness. Which should build our fruitfulness faith. What you feed on is what you eventually become. So Exodus 23:25-26, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and he will take sickness away from the midst of you. And what? Exodus 23:25-26. And it shall take sickness away from the midst of thee, and the number of thy days, nothing shall be barren in the land, and the number of your days, he said, I will fulfill. When you eat this word, you start looking like it. You start behaving it, and then you eventually become it. Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Believe in your fruitfulness. Believe in your all-round fruitfulness. For somebody here, the days of barrenness in any area of your life is finally over. Amen. Number three, consistently serve God and the interest of his kingdom. Consistently serve God and the interest of his kingdom. When serving God and the interest of his kingdom becomes our way of life, we cannot but be fruitful. That is, we get paid or we get rewarded with fruitfulness. Psalm 127:3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Service makes fruitfulness our priority to God. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. You can't serve God and he will forget you. You heard from that testimony, he said, people are even mocking me. Church member took her outside. Let me take you to where they will give you child. That's how you see that people are mixing things. Let me take you to where they will get a child.
He said, no, I just kept serving and serving and serving, and then my day came. Your service will speak fruitfulness. Amen. I said, your service will speak fruitfulness. Amen. And you can, you see, I found out that elders are meeting online in this church every Thursday or every two Thursdays. What are they doing? They are praying on the phone. The deacons meet every Friday. You are not joining elders because you say you are not an elder. You are not joining deacons because you say you are not ordained. You are not coming for covenant hour of prayer. Where do you stand? Where is your service? To call people, you can't do it. But you are the one, you cannot, but you judge everybody in church. To pray, you can't. To serve, you can't. But when it is time for ordination, you are active. When it is time for change of guard, you will be the only one. To volunteer now, no.
You think the one that will give you children is not watching, or the one that will make you fruitful is not watching?
Not only in the fruit of the womb, in the fruit of our hands, in our business, in our career. You better find something to do. May the Lord give us understanding. Amen. I said, may the Lord give us understanding. Amen. Conditions of service. Because somebody will now go and start serving and serving and no reward. Every service must be done right to qualify for reward. Conditions for acceptable and profitable service. Number one, serve righteously. Serve righteously. Number two, serve faithfully. Serve faithfully. Serve faithfully. Number three, serve diligently. Serve diligently. Let them not be coercing you to serve. Nobody multiplies what is in the hands of a lazy man. Serve diligently. Do it because you want to do it. Not that they are coercing or begging you to do it. Do it to qualify for your reward. Number four, serve joyfully. Hannah was a bitter person, but her story changed after her countenance changed. Serve joyfully. And when you, until joy comes, God cannot remember service. Serve joyfully. Psalm 127 and verse 3. Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Serve joyfully. When your service lacks joy, it lacks reward. When your service is full of complaints, it lacks reward. Anything your head of department does not right. Anything or everything the pastors do, is nothing is right. Serve joyfully in order to qualify for reward. Somebody's going home with their reward today. Somebody's going home with their fruitfulness, please. In the name of Jesus Christ. Someone that is blessed, rise up on your feet. Let's give God thanks and praise this morning. Lift up your hands and magnify the Lord God of righteousness. Give him praise. Give him thanks. Give him glory. Give him honor and all adoration. Exalt his name. Father, we thank you. Lord, we worship you. Blessed be the holy name. We give you praise and we give you glory. We give you honor and we give you adoration. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Remember that your father is the manufacturer of babies. Your father is the manufacturer of babies. One time, myself and my wife went to a luxury store in Atlanta. And the lady, I think it was, they sell all manner of luxury goods there. This specific one was, I think it's Christian Louboutin store. Then we went inside and the lady that was the customer service person said, we just got talking and I said, so you guys must be getting discounts on these things. She said, yeah. We get heavy discount. But you can't take more. There is a time limit. As in, it's not every day you'll be coming to say, I want to buy this, I want to buy this, I want to buy this. There is a limit to what they can sell to you. It's a luxury store. Because of the luxury of the store, even the workers are partakers. I found out that those luxury people, they pay stars to advertise those things for them. And those people not only do they pay them in cash, they pay them with the goods. So whatever you're advertising for them, you can't lack it. They want you to be wearing it so that everybody will see it. They are paying for their services by giving them money first and giving them those goods. That's why sometimes when they are acting and they are drinking soft drinks, sometimes they don't want you to see the name of the soft drink because they didn't pay them. But those who pay them, because that's what they want to advertise, they will intentionally display it and talk about it. They can't lack it. Now, how do you think your father that makes babies will make you lack one? The children of Christian Louboutin, if he has any, cannot lack Christian Louboutin materials. As a matter of fact, if you are his friend, you are also going to be a beneficiary. He will come to his house, he says, oh no, that's fine, take it. That's how I know that fruitfulness can come by association. By association. Fruitfulness. You enter into the house of a fruitful person by association and you believe it. You go home fruitful. Because he says, take of it. If you have, that's fine. Take off the shoes. Nobody here is going home barren again. In any area of your life that you desire fruitfulness, receive it now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Before we partake of the communion table this morning, there is somebody here that wants to say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you as my Lord and Savior. The one that makes fruitful is the one calling you. You cannot be fruitful in all departments of your life. He said, partake of me. He says, those who take it unworthily. He says, they are weak, they are sick, and they sleep. But those who partake of it worthily, he said, they will be strong, they will not be sick, and they will live. Someone is here, therefore, this morning that wants to say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior. I want to say yes to you this morning. Someone else wants to say, Lord Jesus, I want to rededicate my life. Let all eyes closed and all heads bowed. You are in any of those two categories, put your right hand on your heart wherever you are. Let me quickly pray with you and for you. Put your right hand on your heart wherever you are. Let me pray with you and for you online and on ground. Do that if you are doing that. Please do that very quickly this morning. Online and on ground, it says, don't partake of it unworthily. It said, come unto me. Come to me. Come to me. I will not only make you fruitful. I will make you fruitful in every department of your life. It's not just going to be your time. Now it will be your turn. It is not just going to be your time. Now it will be your turn. And nothing can stop it. If you are doing that, repeat these words after me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you today. Just as I am. I know I'm a sinner. But I know you died for me. And on the third day, you rose again. That I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because now I am born again. In Jesus' marvelous name. Amen. Father, thank you for these precious souls. Your grace brought them. Let the same grace preserve them. Amen. These ones will never go back to perdition again. Amen. They will begin to take root downwards and bear fruit upwards. Amen. To the praise and to the glory of your name. Amen. Thank you, everlasting Father. Blessed be your name. For now, from now, they will begin to be fruitful in every area of their lives. Amen. It will be evident that they have met with you. Amen. Thank you, Holy One. In Jesus' most glorious name, we have prayed. Amen. Well, you said that prayer in your heart. Why don't you wave your hands to Jesus? Wave those hands to Jesus. The Lord bless you. You said that prayer in your heart. Wave that hand to Jesus. Yes, please make your way here, my sister. Make your way here if you said that prayer. The Lord bless you. Make your way here. The Lord bless you. Make your way here. They don't want to come. Okay. The Lord bless you. That's fine. The Lord bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stretch forth your hands now towards the communion table this morning and just begin to pray whatever your desire is from the communion table this morning. Somebody is here that desires the fruitfulness of the womb, but you came with your point of contact. Bring them out right now. Bring them out right now if you came with your point of contact for fruitfulness. Bring them out right now. Fruitfulness, not just of the fruit of the womb. Fruitfulness in any area of your life. Bring them out right now. You came to church this morning. Bring them out right now. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Amen. We declare the communion table blessed this morning. We decree and we declare that every partaker of this communion table today, you will be fruitful.
Amen.
Fruitful in every department of your life.
Amen.
Fruitful in every area.
Amen.
Fruitful in the fruit of the womb.
Amen.
Fruitful in the fruit of the body.
Amen.
Fruitful in the fruit of your hands.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And so shall it be.
Amen.
In Jesus' marvelous name.
Amen.
Please be reminded, this is the only drug that does not have overdose. You can't overdose on this one. This is the only drug that you can make by yourself. What am I talking about? This is the only drug that is free. You have cookie at home. You have water. Bless it by faith. This is the flesh and the blood of Christ. As I'm partaking of it, I'm partaking of his life. It works.
Amen.
It works.
Amen.
If you need this one after the service, go to the bookstore. Buy them. Get home. Pray over them. It's free. It's not free in the bookstore. You buy it. Glory to God. Glory to God. But you partake of it. You can't overdose on it. Take it morning, afternoon, night. Take it three times. Three after food, before food, no food, anything. Partake of it by faith. It works. It will work in your hands.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. As the communion table comes to you, you rise on your feet as the Overcomer's Voice Minister.